This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
In the Old Testament, leprosy was a very contagious disease. And when a person got leprosy, it was you could see it in their flesh. It gradually would rot away at the flesh. And as it progressed throughout your body, it would deaden the nerves so that you lost feeling in your nerve endings. And eventually, of course, as you know, it would cover your whole body, and eventually it would lead to death. It was incurable in the Old Testament. So we have now treatments in the modern era. We have treatments now that can deal with it. At least in the modern world, there's still some cases of leprosy in the not-so-modern world. But in the modern world, we can deal with leprosy now. We have ways to deal with it and contain it and to even cure it. But in the Old Testament, it was a completely incurable disease. And as such, it became known by many of the preachers throughout the centuries as a type of sin, because they paralleled it with sin. Sin, leprosy is to the body what sin is to the soul. And so they would parallel sin to leprosy. So it would be a type of sin. It is a spreading and incurable disease, gradually rotting away at the soul, and also deadening the nerve endings, like the body, the nerve endings would be dead. In 1 Timothy 4:2, the conscience would become dead. A person who perpetually practices sin, especially in one area, eventually they lose all consciousness of that. They don't even, it doesn't even bother them to do it anymore. And so you lose feeling in the conscience. And it doesn't become something, you wonder why people can do certain things. You read it in the newspaper, you see it on the news, and you wonder, how can a person be so evil? How can a person do such incredible things? And because their nerve endings, their conscience is dead now. They have done evil so many times, they are now, it is now their manner to do evil. And it doesn't bother them. They become an amoral person where they don't even have the sense of right and wrong anymore. But people who practice sin, just like the lepers in the Bible times in Israel, the lepers were not allowed to live in the towns and the villages. They were not allowed to be interactive with other people because of the infectious manner of the disease. And the same thing could be said about sin in the Bible. People who practice sin should, in a sense, be quarantined, at least in our own lives, because of the infectious nature of sin. And what we mean by that, it sounds cruel than it is. What we mean by that is 1 Peter chapter 4, when Peter said in the fourth verse, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them. Not running with them is, in a sense, is a kind of quarantining them. That I used to party with this group of people, and I used to hang with that group, and I used to do this with that group, but now I'm a believer, and now just the Holy Spirit within me doesn't want to hang with them when they do those things. I still love them. They're still my friends. They're my family. They're, you know, whatever, and I still interact to a degree with them, but I don't hang around with them when they're into their partying and when they're into their lifestyle, because I've quarantined that in my mind, and which is a good thing, because it is infectious. So anyone So the leper was kept also in the Old Testament. The leper was kept from worship. If he had the physical disease of leprosy, he was kept from worship. He was not permitted to be in the temple and worship with other believers. And the same thing in the New Testament. Those who practice sin keep themselves from it. God doesn't hold them back from it. But because they practice sin, practicing sin is a big difference than falling into sin. If you, for example, had an anger problem, and you lost your temper maybe a couple times a month, you fall into sin. Anger is a sin. But if you lost it every single day of your life, a day doesn't go by that you don't lose it on somebody. Somewhere, somehow, you lose it every single day. That's the nature of who you are. Then you practice sin. And if you are that furious constantly, then you are in the flesh every single day of your life. And being in the flesh, God doesn't, as you know, God doesn't fellowship with your flesh. He only has one thing for your flesh. It's called the cross. But he doesn't sit around and chit chat with your flesh. There is no fellowship with the flesh. So if you're going to be practicing sin, then you're in the flesh continually, and God is not fellowshipping with your flesh. But when you fall into sin, like all of us do from time to time, that's a different story. Because you're not in the flesh all the time. You're in the flesh on occasion when somebody really obnoxious gets to you. Or some other area of sin gets to you, whatever your particular weaknesses are. We won't do that this service. We'll have a list of them next time around. Whatever your weaknesses are, whenever it gets to you, and whenever you fail, I mean, that's the time. But if you continually practice it, it's a whole different story. When you're practicing that means that you are always in the flesh, and God's not fellowshipping with that. He's waiting for you to wise up, which would be a good message. We'll just name it "Wise Up." So in 1 Kings 5:1, we have the story, and we've been here before, the story of Naaman, who is the Syrian general. And in Syria, they dealt with leprosy different than in Israel. In Syria, they didn't quarantine them. They allowed them to interact with those in society. They didn't quarantine them in Syria, but they did in Israel. So Naaman, in verse 1, chapter 5, commander of the army of the king of Syria, he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, his king. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Now that's an interesting statement, that the Lord gave victory to Syria. God operating and working outside of Israel and actually blessing another country. But he also was a mighty man of valor, courage, but he was a leper. So he had all these things. He was a great commander. He was an honorable man. He had been given victory by the Lord in many, many battles. He was a man of courage, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids, and the Lord had given victory to Syria. And he brought back captives, and one of the captives was a young girl from the land of Israel, and she was a servant for Naaman's wife. So one of the captives they took on one of the raids came back and became a servant to Naaman's wife. And the servant girl said this to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of the leprosy." And so Naaman found out about this. He went in and told the king, the master, and said, "Thus and thus said this girl who is from the land of Israel." And on the story goes. But she's an amazing girl. She is somebody who, instead of being caught up in her own situation and circumstances, remember, she's pulled away from her family, pulled away from her friends, pulled away from her society. Everything in her life has been changed. She's been taken captive, made into a slave, and made to work and serve another person. And instead of being all wrapped up in what she's going through, she actually has the capacity to care about somebody else, even the one who took her captive. She is a perfect example of somebody who loves her enemy. When you know when Jesus said, love your enemies in Matthew 5:45, she's a perfect example of somebody who was able to see beyond her own problems and actually loves somebody else. And that is the great need, of course, with people, is to learn to look beyond yourself so that you can love somebody else. That's always the need. Moms learn it when they raise kids. You learn it quick. You got to go beyond yourself in order to love the children. People learn that in society. But for Christians need to learn that to be all wrapped up in me all the time is going to enclose me to myself, and I'll never be able to share the love of God with people. When missionaries go into the field, when people, whether it's here in this country or across the world, they have to get outside of their own problems. Because we all have problems, we all have troubles, we all have pressures, we all have things that come against us. But if those things are the things that always seem to be foremost in my thought life, then I never am free to share Christ with people. And she's going beyond herself, and she has if anybody has a right to do it, she has a right to do it. She's been made into a slave. And the person who enslaved her is the one she cares about. And the one she's saying, oh, if you could only be there, he could help you. You would think she would say, oh, why don't you just die? You would think she'd have bitterness for what has happened to her. She doesn't. Something's very special in this lady's heart. We'll have to wait to heaven and talk to her and see what it was. We don't even know her name, but we'll find out in heaven who she is. We'll track her down. But that's why Philippians 2:4, Paul told the Philippians to don't just look on your own things, but look on the things of others. That's why he said in 5:14, 5:15 of 2 Corinthians, he says, we who have received Christ, we no longer live unto ourselves anymore, but unto him. You got to go beyond myself, beyond my problems, beyond my thoughts, my financial problems, my relationship problems, so that God's love can be released. And in 5:9, 2 Kings 5:9, we'll move along quick. Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him and said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now, Elisha didn't tell him this personally. The messenger did. Naaman became furious, went away, and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me. He certainly would stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God. He would certainly wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. By the way, I'm not the river to baptize.
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties.